Senate will come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 12th. Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
President Ross.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Veit.
Today I'd like to offer you a prayer for guidance. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with thy most gracious favor, and further us with thy continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in thee, we may serve the people, the state of Wyoming, faithfully, and always glorify thy holy name. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Does it work? It's on now. I just put it on. Is it working? It shows that it's on. Huh?
This one on?
I put that one on. Okay, does yours work now? Do you want, I can turn on the guest one.
Testing.
I'll use that one.
Okay. All right. Doctor for the day is Dr. Dobson from Cheyenne. Thought for the day, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Will Rogers. Introduction, reading, and reference of bills.
We didn't do the journal.
Oh, forgot the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 11th, 2014, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim Anderson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Journal Committee report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Reading and reference and introduction of bills. Senate File 85, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 85, sponsored by Senator Hicks. Trespassing to collect data, and act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for introduction to Senate File 85 and an explanation. Members of the body, I want to read to you two provisions in the Constitution of Wyoming, and it says under Article 1, Section 2, due process of law, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law. Article 7, no absolute arbitrary power. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic. It's clearly the intent of both our founders and the Constitution of Wyoming that private property has a special place in the sanctity of the form of our government. What this bill tries to do is reinstate the value that we place on that private property. What it gets at is to increase the criminal trespass penalties, not for the average person that's out there that happens to bypass across your property or the bird watcher or the hunter or somebody, the fisherman. It's that those people that are actually out there collecting data, and that's the important point, it's collecting data that may then reside in a public domain or some place that potentially jeopardizes those property owners' future ability to use that property. So quickly walk through the bill, what it does, because there's some questions on this. It specifies that if you have to have authorized activity, if you go to the first page. And what that effectively is trying to get to is it's not landowner permission. There's other ways of authorized access to private lands. That may be through seismic bonding, could be through the county assessor's office. Those aren't covered under here. Those are protected. Those are authorized activity. But what it really gets to is that collection of data, and not arbitrary collection of data by somebody taking a photograph of a particular animal on your property, but if that data includes a specific legal description of that property, either through township section and range or GPS coordinates, you know exactly where that data was collected. And that's what it's aimed to do, is raise those criminal penalties for those people who don't believe in the sanctity of that private property. So it's specific to the collection of data that you have no unauthorized access to that provides that legal description. The purpose of the bill is to get at the people that don't believe in the sanctity of that private property. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Senate District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senator Vol 85, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Mr. Senator Hastert.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Members of the Senate, up in the gallery here in front of us is the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and program directors from all over the state of Wyoming. I'd like to welcome you to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator File 81, first reading of Senate bill.
Senate File 81, sponsored by Senator Christensen, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts and Act Relating to Labor and Employment.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President. Introduction of Senate File 81 and ask for your favorable consideration. Senate File 81, members of the Senate, is about privacy and respecting individuals' rights to their privacy. Today in this social media world, generally it's accepted that what you can find on the internet is fair game. However, people are using some of the social media in different ways and using it for communication, for business. As we've seen here recently, Facebook is the overwhelming favorite around the world for communication, and there are some mediums in Facebook, such as the messaging side of it, or levels of security that don't necessarily mean it's available to all people. And this little bill just says that an employer, or in the case of pre-employment, they can't sit down with those prospective employees and say, give us all your passwords or open up all your accounts so we can look at your private messages and so forth. The other side of this is if they leave it open, it's there for everyone. But what they're finding, and it's some of the opinions out there, is that what people say on social media isn't necessarily an indicator of how they're going to perform or handle their responsibilities in other situations. And so this just says that you can't put them on the hook to get in there. The bill goes on, though, and still respects, down on page 2, that an employer certainly can access and require access to those accounts if the employee is using it through their job or on their equipment. It talks about investigations of allegations of employee misconduct or violations, and those are other standards out there that you can still ask for and expect access to it. And then there is an exception for law enforcement and pre-employment screening. And so it doesn't lock them out, but it just says there's some respect, there's some privacy, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration on this bill.
Deputy Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 no.
Senate File 81, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 86, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 86, sponsored by Senator Dockstader, Obstructing Roads and Highways, an act relating to roads and highways.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate File 86, Obstructing Roads and Highways. Mr. President, members of the Senate, this originated out of the Fremont country, but I've had the same situation around my own county and around my region, where somebody leaves something in the public easement, the roadway there, and it becomes a question, a car, a trailer or something, becomes a question. It can't clearly be defined on whether or not it should be moved. This allows for some clarification to correct the matter, and the changes come on page 1, line 16, page 2, line 20, two small changes there, adding the words public easement or public right-of-way. Hopefully what we have here is something that will resolve a small problem, but an ongoing and repetitive problem. Ask for your support.
Deputy Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Kraft, Dockstader, Driscoll, Emmerich, Escobel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
President Roth.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 86, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 86 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 91, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 91, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss, Digital Information Privacy Tax Force, an act relating to the administration of government and privacy.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the introduction of Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force, and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, we've already had a few pieces of legislation coming through here. There's several over in the other chamber related to information privacy and how we handle our information throughout the state. In our Education Committee and our Select Education Accountability Committee, we've had a tremendous number of conversations about what we should do with data, who we should share with, what we should keep private, who owns the data. It's amazing how complicated this topic has become, how important it has become, and yet we have almost nothing on the books that really resolves the difficulties unless we look to some federal guidance, and a lot of the federal guidance is either nonspecific or not appropriate to our interests. In fact, in certain circumstances, like when you look at FERPA, which is to protect students under federal legislation, it has some loopholes in it that you could just about drive a truck through to allow for data sharing in ways that aren't necessarily consistent with what we would want in the state. As a result, we've had a lot of discussions over the interim. I worked with Chief Information Officer in the governor's office and chatted with the governor about the idea of putting together a task force to actually create a foundation, a framework within our statutes that provides some general guidance on what we want to do with data privacy. It's not going to be an answer to everything, but it will at least give some general cover. And then we can latch on other policies and laws to that. The idea being right now we're taking an ad hoc approach and it's going to be difficult to keep consistent. So, Mr. President, what this legislation does is simply lay that task force out involving a couple members of the Senate, a couple members of the House, three appointments from the governor's office to include a representative of the chief information officer's group there, and then the task force is going to look at some of the issues that we're facing about digital information ownership, privacy, threats to consumers based on intentional or inadvertent compromise of that information, identification of how to protect consumers and individuals, and also how to transmit information between governments and individuals and consumers and what rules we should be utilizing to make sure that we're protecting the individuals and their right to privacy. So what it comes down to, Mr. President, there's a lot of questions. We need to get some answers, and putting together a group to look at that over the interim is a prudent way to go about it and to ensure that we're not just piecemeal approaching this problem but actually giving some thought to it. So I'd urge the body for consideration and a favorable introduction.
Deputy Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 91, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 83, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 83, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 02, Oil and Gas Operations Bonding Requirement, an act relating to oil and gas.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for introduction, Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Operations Bonding Requirement. Members of the body, this is a simple bill related to a very complicated issue. Having sat in the President's chair before, I'm very sensitive to the type of bill that you should bring forth in a budget session. And I obviously have brought this one, and I think that it met at least my criteria, my litmus test, in regard to significance and importance to deserve at least an opportunity to present it for introduction to you today in a budget session. This really has to do with a lot of what's going on in my county and around the state, but we know of the drilling activity, particularly in Converse County, and I'll talk about that, but other places around the state. Before I start, I want to say to the industry and to that whole endeavor, we are very thankful of that industry in our county. They're very responsible, and I have to tell you, they're helping us build a library, a community college. We're considering assisted living. We're considering recreation centers and all that. So in no way is this intended to be any kind of a strike upon the industry. But I will tell you, on January 15th, we had a forum in which to accommodate the public in regard to some of their concerns about the activity and the impact. And one of the things that came forward from many of the landowners is regard to this issue of bonding. And the idea being that, as the bill says, under current condition, and particularly in a split of states, the surface bonding, as it's currently established, has a minimum of $2,000, and this $2,000. And if the blanket bond is to be used by then the Oil and Gas Commission, that then is $2,000. This bill simply goes into the legislation and raises that current $2,000 bonding amount up to $10,000, and then it would then say to the commission, in the event that you issue a blanket bond, that would be $10,000. Very complicated, not time to discuss it today, but one of the things that's driving it, times have changed, and much of what was done with this, and this work was done by a member of this body and other members in the body, but it's kind of outgrown ourselves. It's no longer about smaller coalbed methane locations and rigs. This is about deep well drilling on sites and locations from 7.5 to 10 acres, at times at which these drill are 6 different wells upon one location. So I think this more realistically helps address some of the issues that current surface owners have. I could go on, there's not time, but what I'm asking for is for an opportunity for those folks to come down to better explain to people like me who don't quite honestly fully understand this complicated issue in committee, and we can then take a look in regard to how we want to move forward with this. So what I'm asking for, with your consideration, opportunity to move this forward, to explore it in committee, to hear from those folks and better examine what those conditions are. Yes, this is but a tip upon the iceberg, but we want to have an opportunity then to really get a more clear picture of that. So with that, on behalf of those constituents and their request, I ask for your most favorable consideration and the ability to explore this further. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Deputy Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout? Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Johnson? Landon? Meyer? Nicholas? Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote.
Co,
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
Senate File 83, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 83 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 92, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 92, sponsored by Senator Cole. WCCC Director Ex Officio Memberships 2 and Act Relating to Education.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move for introduction of Senate File 92, Wyoming Community College Commission Director Ex Officio. In the interim, we have discussions that go on between the State Board of Education, and as you know, the State Board of Education has many more duties than they've had in the past. We have discussions about what's going on at community colleges and the universities. So what this does, it makes the director of the Community College Commission an ex officio member of the State Board of Education as well as the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees. We had support from all three entities for this position. We're hoping that it creates a better dialogue, a better communication factor as we talk about K-12 and we talk about community colleges and as we talk about the University of Wyoming. So that's what the bill does. We had support for it in the interim. Ask for your support.
Deputy Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott. Von Fladern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 92, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 93, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 93, sponsored by Senator Hines, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund, and Act Relating to Fuel Tax.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File Number 93, Agriculture Gas Tax Refund. A few years ago, we changed the system that agriculture people used for their refund for off-roads agriculture purposes. And what we've done, we set it up where they have to apply to the Department of Transportation. They have, within the previous current law, we have a one-year limitation on that to apply. And what I'm finding out that a lot of agriculture operations kind of do their bookwork, their yearly one, once a year, depending on the date and things. If they're a little late in doing that bookwork, well, then they're denied some of their gas tax refund. And what this would do is just simply extend the 12 months to 18 months. I ask that you put that into a committee so we can discuss it further. Thank you.
Deputy Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel. Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 93, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 88, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 88, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Medicaid Expansion Insurance Pool, and Act Relating to Medicaid.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is a Joint Interim Committee bill on Medicaid expansion. I move introduction of the bill and ask for your unfavorable consideration. Frankly, I think this is the way we would go if we were to do a Medicaid expansion, but I voted against the bill in committee for substantive and timing reasons, so in fairness, I yield to Senator Kraft to explain the bill.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to offer just a real brief explanation of Senate File 88, and I would like to point out that the good chair said if we were to do this, this is the way we should go. So this is a real complex bill. It does address the issue of Medicaid expansion. There's not a lot of time to tell you about it other than I think this is a discussion that we need to have, and I do believe this is a good vehicle to open that discussion with. This particular piece of legislation copies another state's model in that what it does is it puts Medicaid expansion clients into private insurance policies that are offered through the exchanges, diverts medically frail clients to traditional Medicaid, uses a higher copayment than is traditionally allowed, and so then there's a health savings account that's funded by both the client and Medicaid to pay that higher copayment. So you can see this particular model has some obligation to the client in it. It charges individuals a premium, half of 1% of their income. It has a 20-hour per week work requirement, which can be waived for good cause. It does allow Medicaid to deposit more back in the health savings account if the copayments exceed the amount available. So it's a mix between client cooperation, Medicaid funding, and our insurance exchange and our insurance pools. So given that three level of cooperation, and given that you're going to hear a lot of different pieces of legislation coming up about this, I would urge your support of Senate File 88. Thank you.
Deputy Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll. Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Platen.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Christensen, no to aye. Aye to no. Case? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 16 no.
Senate File 88, having failed to receive a majority vote, Senate File 88 has failed introduction. Mr. Vice President.
Senate File 84, first reading of the bill. Senate File 84, sponsored by Senator Ross, Child Support Payment, an act relating to domestic relations and child support.
Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President. Thank you. Mr. Vice President, I move introduction of Senate File 84. Ask for your favorable consideration. This bill is basically some amendments to improve our child support collection program. It has three parts. The first part goes into the abatements. Abatements occur for the non-custodial parent when they have the child or children for more than 14 consecutive days in any month. But there are a number of different days in some months versus others. And so to accurately compute what that abatement is, we've changed the language on lines 2 through 5 to divide it by the actual number of days in the years, and that way you figure out exactly how much the abatement is. The most, I think, important part of this bill is in 20-6-111. We change line 19 to say full monthly. What this means is that we have the ability to suspend somebody's driver's license. And the way the current law is, if they come in and make any sort of payment, $5, whatever, then the department is unable to suspend their license. This requires a full monthly payment of child support to prevent your license being taken. And then we try to bring into the modern age notice to payer, which goes to the employers, that can be done electronically. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Will the Assistant Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft. Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Peterson.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platen.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 84, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Mr. President.
Here we go. Okay. Senate Joint Resolution 1, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 02, Regulation of Carbon Dioxide Emissions, and Joint Resolution requesting Congress to require the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to respect the primacy of Wyoming in developing guidelines for regulating carbon dioxide emissions.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for introduction, Senate file, Joint Resolution Number 1, and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, it's been said that it's not failure that we should fear, but we should fear most being successful at things that don't really matter. With regard to this session, the budget really matters. And in my opinion, this resolution really matters. And it's so it's with that vein that I bring it forward in the current environment. Much has been said in regard to the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. We've already had discussion in regard to another initiative on this floor, another introduction. The governor made comments in regard to the EPA and many of the, some of the initiatives that are affecting Wyoming in his remarks on Monday. I won't go to the detail of the resolution to say only what this resolution does is request that Wyoming be given primacy in regard to our own air emissions, our own air quality. It comes on behalf of not only the governor, but industry, coal industry, transportation industry, in regard to the importance and the significance, not only to the people, but the economy of Wyoming in this whole regard. Not only this issue, the issue of air that this resolution drafts, but of many other issues which we're familiar with in regard to action taken in regard to geopolitical boundaries and a general overreach by the EPA with that. So, what's the resolution about? It's about protection. It's about protection of states' rights. It's about the protection of jobs. It's about the protection of our ability in Wyoming to make a living, to be independent, and have the revenues and the resources in order to do many of the things that we're attempting to do. It's about being successful at those things that really matter. Thank you, Mr. President. And again, I would ask for your most favorable consideration.
Deputy Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich. Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern. President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, having received two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 90, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 90, sponsored by Senator Scott, Hospital Licensing, and Act relating to hospital licensing.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 90 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is one where us old geezers need the help of you young folks in the Senate. We're getting an epidemic now of proposed new hospitals in the state that won't take Medicare, and all of us who aren't either are Medicare eligible, or I think they have ambitions of getting there, but they won't take Medicare, they won't take Medicaid. What this bill does is says that to remain licensed in the state of Wyoming, they will have to take Medicare and Medicaid. And we've traced it through as near we can because there's complications here with the Obamacare Act. And it appears that given a little time, all of the new proposed hospitals could come in compliance with this bill. And that's important because we will periodically have situations in our communities. A flu epidemic that hits the elderly the most is the most likely, where we need all the hospital resources in the community to be available to everyone. And with this bill, that would continue to be the case. There is a provision where if you're not in compliance, you have some time to get in compliance. And there is a mechanism, as we understand the federal act, where everybody will. So I would urge that we introduce this bill. It's a new thing that's coming on us. And this will provide some basic protection that we need for the Medicare and also the Medicaid patients in the state.
Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll. Emmerich.
No.
Escobar. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
No.
President Ross.
Aye.
Cooper, aye to no.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 aye, 11 no.
Senate File 90, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 90 has failed introduction. Senate File 89, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 89, sponsored by Senator Landon, Health Professionals Medicaid Billing, an act relating to Medicaid.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Senate File 89, Health Professionals Medicaid Billing, and ask for my fellow senators' consideration on this bill. I appreciated the words my good friend from just down the Platte River, who indicated that we need to make sure that these bills that we allow into a budget session are worthwhile. I would submit to you all that I believe this particular area of law is one that we are going to be dealing with for quite some time to come. I think this is a very, very important issue. I think all of you know that in my day job, that a little over a year ago, we went through some very difficult things up in my neck of the woods with our college up there. And since that time, I've had occasion to sit down with some of our mental health professionals and have conversations about mental health and how important it is that we pay attention to that as policymakers. I don't have to tell you what's happened down below our border, just to the south. This is a very, very important thing. So health professionals, Medicaid billing folks, to come to the point of the bill, this is a bill which would do a number of things. It would remove a layer of bureaucracy that exists in our statutes. It will increase the access to mental health care for clients who are underprivileged. It will allow our Medicaid clients to have a choice of therapists. This targets professionals. The current Medicaid supervision requirement of licensed master's level therapists is redundant, since the Mental Health Professional Licensing Board has oversight over those counselors now. Social workers, marriage and family therapists. There are four categories of therapists that we're talking about here, Senators. I have spoken with both agencies that this bill will impact. I can tell you, and I'm happy to say, that both of the agencies are on board with this legislation. It moves the oversight of this particular area under the Department of Health, where I think it belongs. And one of the very good things about this bill, it's going to save us money. It's going to put it where it belongs. It's going to remove a layer of bureaucracy that I don't think is necessary in this day and age. This is a chapter that has not been revisited for at least 10 years that I can find. We've made great ground in the education of our mental health therapists. Folks, this bill would bring us current with the rest of industry and with our surrounding states. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
No.
Farnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Pladern.
No.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 aye, 9 no.
Senate File 89, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 55, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Award Increase, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 13, Hathaway Scholarship Program Enrollment Expansion, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 12, State Education Program, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator co-chairman. Mr. President, your February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 27, Endowment Challenge Program Fees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, and Schiffer. No, Senator Hicks, Senator Schiffer, chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 26, Endowment Challenge Program State Funds Inviolate, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 79, Education Student Data Security 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator co-chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 78, the Jason Flatt Act 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator co-chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 29, Supervised Probation of Ms. DeKrenitz, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 10, Work Release Act Repeal, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 9, Probation and Parole Agent Arrest Authority, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, chairman. February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 7, Brucellosis Surveillance, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, chairman. February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 6, Groundwater Contested Cases, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, chairman. February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 8, Agency Land Sale, Acquisition, and Exchange Authority, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 51, workers' compensation coverage. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott?
Mr. President, Senate File 64 that was just read in, Public Health Nursing, sponsored by the Joint Labor Committee, has an appropriation in it. I ask it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 64 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on second reading. Senate File 38, second reading of the House, of the Senate file.
Under safety exceptions.
There are no amendments. Senate File 38 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 44, second reading of the Senate file.
State Parks Use of Fees.
Senate File 44, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 46, second reading of the Senate file.
State Parks ATM Donations.
Senate File 46, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 50, second reading of the Senate file.
State Minors Health Coverage.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read the in the amendment.
Senate File 50. Second reading, amendment number 1, page 2, line 19.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Member of the Senate, we had that discussion yesterday, and a good senator from the northern end of the state had a concern on some parts of the of what we were doing, and I did an extensive amount of research and tried to find out and found out where some of this came from. As I mentioned last year, we had a bill that came through last year that made it partway through the process, and from the board said they weren't sure for unknown reasons that line was stricken. So that was just something that when I asked for the bill from last year and we made our modifications, it was just inadvertently brought in. We didn't want that, and the body was right in the discussion of that did some limitations. So we wanted to, my amendment just simply reinstates the words emphasis on. That's in existing language. Those words are in existing language today and should remain in there. So that's all the amendment does. Thank you.
You need to move the amendment.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 50.
Any discussion? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 50, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 60, second reading of the Senate file.
Bin Inspection Authority Game and Fish.
Senate File 60, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 61, second reading of the Senate file.
Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions.
Senate File 61 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. It's Majority Floor Leader. We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that we resolve ourselves at the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion's carried. Senator Landon.
What are we going to do today? You're the right off quickie.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 15. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 15, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Community College Major Maintenance, an act relating to community colleges. It was referred to Committee Number 2, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report as you so of a favorable recommendation do pass on Senate File 15, Community College Major Maintenance. And, Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 15, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 20.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would yield to the consideration to explain the standing committee amendment and the bill to my colleague from Goshen County.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we'll deal with the amendment as we move through the bill.
Senator, can I ask that you move that amendment, please?
I believe that the chairman already moved it, Mr. Chairman, but... Oh, he
didn't? Mr. Chairman, I will move the standing committee amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 15.
Thank you, Senator. It's been moved twice. I think we're moved.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm moved, Mr. Chairman. I don't know about you. I'm really moved. No, not me. Not me, Mr. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you recall, I explained most of this bill really on introduction, and it's essentially, Mr. Chairman, to get the major maintenance of the community colleges and their facilities on a uniform formula, regardless of the funding nature of the construction. And so, Mr. Chairman, if we go over to the bill really starts on page 2, and essentially we had the State Building Commission adopt a uniform formula for major maintenance, and that's based on the gross square footage, and it's also limited in some aspects, and those aspects that it's only for buildings providing educational programs that are approved by the strategic college plan by the commission. And it specifically excludes, Mr. Chairman, student housing, student unions, and auxiliary services. And those are areas funded exclusively through community college-generated revenues. And these things are normally funded by revenue bonds, or if it's a kiosk for vending machines, it's funded by the proceeds from those vending machines. on the amendment, Mr. Chairman, it goes to page 2, line 20. And this is, it reads now, use a multiplier to maintain facilities in a fair condition. And we insert in at least a fair condition, Mr. Chairman, because what necessarily will happen is that you don't want the buildings to drop below a fair condition. And if you modify them and bring them up to a fair condition, they're going to be above a fair condition for a period of time after the modification. So you'll have part of the building that's in an excellent condition, and the rest of it would necessarily be considered fair, or at least fair. So that's the amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I ask us to vote on that amendment at this time.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you would just describe what you anticipate the fiscal impact down the future with the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the fiscal impact to the state will probably be a little higher, because I think this is the common practice that's going on now at community colleges. If you get a HVAC system or something that's just about ready to expire, or if you get a roof that's in need of repair, it's below the fair condition or at the fair condition. What the impact actually does, it'll probably transfer some of the local funds perhaps used or some of the state funds that are given to the community colleges, and it's put into a formula where it may drive the total bill, may drive the cost, total cost or major maintenance up, but we'll know that all of our buildings are at least a fair condition. And there is a funding formula now on a square footage basis that goes back to the community colleges. That might go up a little bit, but we're not really sure exactly where that's going to be at this point in time. But the thing is that primarily it's going to be uniform in the bill, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to confuse apples and oranges. So the at least part of it is probably not going to have that much of a budgetary total impact. Any budgetary impact might come as a result of the bill, but not necessarily this amendment.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there's two levels that we've done on major maintenance. One is fair, which is roughly 1.5%, and the other is good, which is 3%. And there's a significant difference in cost to fair versus good, and we did not want to go with good. And in the past, Mr. Chairman, what's happened is that the Joint Appropriations Committee has looked at that 1.5% and has had the option in the budget bill to adjust that. So what we wanted to do was say at least fair, but still, if for some specific reason the JAC wants to move that up, then that's something that this full body would see in a budget bill, and that's why we opted for that language, and we opted to put fair in there and not good. And I think the difference between fair and good and that 1.5% is like $25 million. It's very expensive.
All those in favor of the Vice President's and the Senator's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 15, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continuing on over on page 3, we basically have a definition of a major building and facility repair and replacement. That's on lines 7 through 10. Over on lines 15 and 16, we have an exception to the exclusion on student housing, where we accept the installation of fire suppression systems in residential facilities. It's important to have that fire suppression systems, and as you all can well understand that in sleeping quarters. Mr. Chairman, there are several places in the bill, and you can see them throughout the bill, where we insert a program within the General Services Division of the Construction Management Commission. So that defines it a little closer to the actual division within the division that's doing the job. We go over on page 5 and lines 11 through 13, and also have the exclusion for the student housing and unions and auxiliary services there in that area of the bill. And then, Mr. Chairman, the rest of it is cleanup as through pages 6 and 7 and going on through 8. And then at the bottom of 8, Mr. Chairman, or bottom of 9, Mr. Chairman, continuing on to page 10, is really the crux of the bill. And essentially it says, notwithstanding any provision of law enacted prior to January 14th, so we essentially start with this year, the biennial budget increases, Mr. Chairman, the biannual budget requests submitted for major maintenance funding for community college capital construction facilities authorized shall be calculated as provided in this section. And that's essentially the calculation of the uniform formula devised by the commission. So there are going to be what I'm going to have the community college do is to set up a matrix so everybody can see which buildings are going to be funded for maintenance before and after the passage of the bill, so everybody has a clear understanding exactly what happens and how this tracks in. We don't have that matrix at this time, but that'll be forthcoming. So I want everybody to know if you need to know whether or not the building on your campus is going to be have major maintenance attached to it or not. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's essentially what the bill is doing. We're trying to treat everybody the same, irregardless of where they came in through the process, because there was a lot of specific budget amendments and specific actions that we've taken in the past where some community colleges in similar situations were not treated the same as other community colleges. So we just wanted to get them all on the same page. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask for a little more discussion with respect to how we arrived at this and the issue with respect to equality among community colleges. And my recollection is that we introduced the idea of paying for major maintenance when our budget started going up in the early 2000s. We'd come out of the 1990s with at a time where a lot of our infrastructure was ailing. We had great resources as we came in to the 2000s with the natural gas. And one of the things we began to do is focus on our aging infrastructure. The formula that you have is actually one was devised by the University of Wyoming to go out and look at your square footage. You go to a national methodology to take your square footage, apply it against some essentially algorithms that would say that if you spend this amount on your total facilities, then you'll be able to maintain them at a continuous level. We brought the community colleges into discussion. At the beginning, we didn't have as much money for everybody, so there was a finite amount of money available. So the issue among the community colleges was, how do we fairly do this? And we looked back and we said, well, in some instances, community colleges had their buildings first approved by the Community College Commission. They're part of a plan. The legislature authorized them, and there was funding that went into it. Sometimes we paid 50% of the funding, sometimes 100% of the funding, depending on the situation. There were other instances where community colleges did not achieve an approval, if you will, or a priority from the Community College Commission. And the community colleges then went to the state and said, look, please let us build this facility. And if we build this facility, we'll take care of all of the operation and maintenance. No other community college will ever be deprived of our construction because we'll own this building, if you will. So if we reach this date and we say we're now for, why did we segregate those buildings out where they're either receiving less or no reimbursement? And we do it on equality. If the pie is the same, then it's unfair to bring those buildings back in and redistribute so that the colleges that went through the process got their approvals and the state participate in their construction, that their major maintenance declines because we're now going to renege on the deal that where colleges said, we have the local resources to build. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. We'll never compete with our sister organizations. I suppose if we're now saying the pie is infinite and we'll increase it to put everybody on the same plane, that's fair enough, but that is a breach of that agreement. And it's not an agreement, it was just sort of a representation that we'll use our own dollars, we'll be allowed to expand. This whole process even becomes more difficult because the way we're reimbursing community colleges and their operational dollars is based upon the number of students and the hours served. So if a community college decides to run out and build another building, and with that building they're able to attract new students, and better yet, if you're in Gillette, for example, you attract students from Casper to come to Gillette. And once you do that, then you're able to expand in a finite pie your piece of the pie because you built a building. And now you come back and say, that's great, plus we want more money for our major maintenance. Now, there has to come a time where we may have to have a higher system of education which says, you know, how much can we afford, how we're going to do this, but here we now have a bill that says we're going to, I assume, expand the pie to bring in more buildings, but there's really no fiscal note that tells you how much or whether you can afford it. And there will come a day when we will have to constrain the dollars and we reduce it, say, from, suppose at 1.5%, you're getting $100 million of the cost. And next year we say, well, we can't afford $100 million, so let's do it down to 1.25%. So we just reduced it to $75 million, so everybody gets less. Well, if you played by the rules, you're now getting less money because we expanded the pie to increase this building. So we're putting more buildings in, and saying you all share alike, and the way we'll regulate the money is whether it's 1% of this formula, 1.25 or 1.5, so that the folks that played by the rules will get less money for the buildings that went through the process, and the folks that said, hey, don't worry, we'll take care of our buildings, are getting more of the pie. And so what I'd like is an explanation of, you know, how did it develop? Is my understanding wrong? And have we effectively created a much larger obligation to cover costs for those folks that said we'll pay for our O&M, operations and maintenance. We'll never come to the state. And now they're going to their sister organization and said, well, that was last year. We got our building now. We want to be treated fairly. And if we have to, let's reduce the percentage that gets so we all get to share equal in square footage, as opposed to we look at our square footage that was authorized.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, and I too share those concerns. I'm not sure what's driving this bill, but it certainly is dismantling a lot of work that has been done previously. But in addition to the concerns already expressed, I have a great deal of concern on page 3, including installing, this is line 15 and 16, fire suppression systems in residential facilities. We don't do that over at the university. The assurance was that if these colleges were going to build dormitories or houses or whatever, that they were going to do exactly like the university. Those are separate accounts. This is kind of like the nose under the camel, so to speak. And we're getting into there, and there's no way to stop once you do it. And if these people are going to build these buildings, you've got to draw a clear line. And what we're doing is blurring that line. And it was for years it's been understood. The state wants no part of the maintenance of residential halls. We want no part in building them. Those are private accounts. Those colleges build them, and they build nice ones, but they're self-funded, and the universities are also self-funded. I'm trying to figure out why we want to go into another new area that the state has never been involved with before, in addition to the expansions in the cost to the state that this bill envisions. And I believe they are substantial, notwithstanding the fiscal note, which I think is just a crock.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I hear the concerns that were just offered, but there's another way to look at this, and that is as the needs for our community college system grow, and they are considerable, and we have an excellent community college system. It's one of the great blessings in this state. If you make it more expensive to have a privately funded building where the community college went out and either had a bond issue or raised the money privately with donations, and if they don't get, that means it's extra major maintenance cost, what you're going to do is drive those colleges to come here to build the building and not go through the trouble of doing all the fundraising because of the long-term implications for that. So you've got to look at it both ways. You drive them that way, you'll increase our cost because we will build those buildings, especially in the years where the state has got some money. So it's not a clear-cut thing. And you can, by being real strict, and okay, we won't maintain them if you build them locally, you're telling them not to build them locally and to come here for them. And is that really something you want to do?
Senator Anderson.
Well, thank you. I won't speak long because I think the senator from Natrona County has very well expressed the concern that I have. And kind of not knowing, I alluded earlier in a presentation in regard to one county in my district that has gone with a 1 cent sales tax designated to the construction of a new community college building. And as we speak, I think that's probably ground, as if it's not too frozen, was just broken last week. The community has agreed to fund in its entirety 100% and about $10 million that building. In that preliminary discussion, having some sense of what might come, I made my cautionary comments known that they should work carefully. The local community, county commissioners, should work carefully with the building commission, community college commission, in order to make sure that standards were maintained, that the engineering process was followed, and all of that in anticipation of the state becoming owners of that. But now, as I listen to this, I'm not sure where we're at, and I would hope that I wouldn't have to go home and say, yeah, we've done something now, a slap on your hands, if not a slap in the face, for your $10 million contribution done locally that's not recognized by the state, and so therefore you're going to be penalized. So again, I don't know as necessarily for or against, but I'm just kind of say, well, wait a minute. I'm not sure what the implications are. Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice President. Let's go to Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try to address some of these, and I'm sure that a good chairman from appropriations can catch the ones that I don't. First of all, the fiscal note, whether it's a crock or whether it's a duck, I don't know, Mr. Chairman, you know. But the fiscal note says that the increased square footage will probably drive up the major maintenance expenditures by about $880,000 a year. Now, specifically, there's no dollars that's appropriated in this bill, but now in the budget, I can tell you that we did put some money into a lot of different areas, and I'll touch on a couple of those to address some of the concerns that I heard today. And one of them is whether or not the local communities have skin in the game. And in the new buildings that we brought forward, this year, we looked at the effort that the local communities did as far as their mill levies. And if we had a community that was maybe getting a pretty good sizable share, we look back in to see what their mill levy was, and we adjusted that share proportionately. So we're trying to get all of the different community colleges that come into the system that has somewhere around that 7 mills implemented. So they have some skin in the game to go out and get the bond issues and make sure that local effort is there. And what this bill is trying to do is to say to those communities that went out and spent all of their money, you know, if they're similarly situated, then they might, and this is where the matrix will come in. And we'll ask each one of those questions individually to the community colleges as how they interpret this as to whether the new facility in Douglas would fall under the major maintenance. Because, frankly, from my perspective, I certainly understand the angst of a community would have about building a building that's for education and then not having the major maintenance in it versus a community that would come here, community college, and get a 50% match or a 75% match or more and be part of the major maintenance. You know, so this is what we're trying to do, is to get it uniform so that everybody's treated the same in similar situations. As to the discussion that we had about the finite pie with students, now in 2004 we passed a bill, and it was basically for student enrollment, and that's the baseline period. And every year the colleges come in and say what their student enrollment is, and you work off that 2004 baseline, and we're supposed to make up the difference on a per student basis on a formula, and so the pie isn't finite. With the exception is that we've never funded that. So that's on us. That's shame on us, because we've never funded to the formula of the 2004 statute. Because there wouldn't be a finite pie if we actually followed our own laws that were implemented. But frankly, sometimes things are tough, and that was one place where we held the line, and perhaps we held the line too tight. I can't tell you. But it isn't a finite number. It comes back every year, and that number is adjusted by enrollment. And if we follow the 2004 statute, then there isn't winners and losers in a finite pie. But unfortunately, we've made it a finite pie in many circumstances, and there are winners and losers when you have enrollment in a building that wasn't authorized during the process. And, Mr. Chairman, I think those are the ones that I remember that I've got the answer for. One on installing fire suppressor systems in residential facilities. Frankly, that's just a public safety thing. And it's something that it's a situation where if the money isn't there, let's go ahead and get that public safety thing taken care of. And that's just something that we felt was our duty. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority, floor to you.
Thank you. You know, folks, the community college system is an important system, and we need to support it. And if we want to have economic development, we want to have economic prosperity, we have to have a good, strong community college system. Everybody agrees with that. We struggle with whether or not the funding is finite or infinite. It's never going to be infinite, but the question, can it be finite or growing, how much is it growing? And it's no different than University of Wyoming, where we say you've got a block grant, you have to manage it, and we struggle with this. But the issue with respect to equity among the community colleges is really interesting. And I would just give you this as an example. The community college in Laramie Community College, not Laramie City, but Laramie County Community College, the voters in this county voted for, and they taxed themselves for, a building that they constructed in Laramie, the city of Laramie. So there's an LCCC campus in Laramie, and it attracts pretty good student population. And as you're aware, there's even a proposal to build a new facility on campus run by LCCC to educate students that are either not ready to go to the university or need remediation or choose to have smaller classes or for a variety of different reasons. The taxpayers in Albany County pay nothing for that. I think we'd be willing to pay for it. I mean, it serves our community, and we'd be willing to pay for it. But in this situation, we're not part of that district. So you ask yourself, why in the world would people in Laramie County tax themselves to build a building in Laramie, the city of Laramie? And the answer is because they make more money on the operation dollars that they get than they essentially get a bigger piece of the pie from other sister organizations. So they make money to increase their enrollment. And they obviously make enough money that it warrants having another campus that people here had to pay for. Now, as we're redistributing those resources, should the other communities say, yeah, we'll pick up the major maintenance for the Laramie facility to help Laramie County Community College attract those students? Now, if the analysis is, are we providing a good service to students, and that's where you stop, the answer is yes. I don't think anybody here would challenge if they're attracting students that need education, then heck yeah, we need to have it. Is the system fair? No. And I suspect under this bill, they may say, well, that community college, we're going to leave them out. I don't know. I think they've done it. But there's winners and losers here. They've gone to some college and say, well, we think you weren't treated fairly. Maybe you were. And my point is, folks, is that there comes a time where these Band-Aids throw up the cost, don't solve the problem about how we're going to distribute resources and how much are we going to contribute, and it just creates more competition to get buildings up at the expense of your sister organizations. And if that's not the case, great. And if we can step back and say, it doesn't make any difference. If you can build a building and you can fill it, even though it costs your sister organization expenses, that's all right. Or are we going to say, before we move down this pathway, let's really figure out what we're going to do, what we can afford, and what's fair?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has been some good discussion, and I want to try to walk you through what the committee did and to try to answer some of these questions more specifically. And first of all, this is as a result of a footnote we did last year, and I was trying to look it up and couldn't find it, where we had a lot of different buildings treated differently as they came into the system. Can't tell you why, other than it was done in the budget bills. And there were instances in 2000, starting in about 5 or 6, where a particular building would be built that could be funded partially by state funds, all, and they would have 100% of their maintenance covered. Another buildings done at a different time would have 50%. Some would have none. So, Mr. Chairman, what we did last year during the supplemental budget bill in the general session is we came with a footnote that said, let's try to get these all on the same page, but to really do it properly, we're going to have to come with a bill. This bill is to try to do that and bring a responsible way to deal with it. And to really get a good handle on it, you got to go back to the start of the community college system in our state, when most, if not all, of the colleges, and I can speak to Central, I know a lot more about it than the others, but it was done totally with a local bond levy, and the voters voted for it. We built the buildings, and that's the way it started. And then we came to the state. Over time, that has morphed into a different situation. But what we've done when we started the major maintenance component, those schools, and it's probably every college in the state that had built these buildings through that mechanism, were afforded major maintenance component monies from the state. So those buildings were in existence. They were built more than likely not by any state funds, yet the major maintenance component was taken up by this formula. What happened in the mid-2000s, and I don't have the exact date, is we started authorizing these. And you all remember we'll have a bill come through the Building Commission, and you'll see one in this budget bill where there's 15 colleges that want to, or 15 projects that colleges want to build, and we either authorize them or we don't. Some of them we give money to, some we don't. When you authorize that building, When this body authorizes that building, at that point in time, we're taking on the obligation of paying for that major maintenance component when that building is built. Now, if a community wants to go ahead and say, we don't care about the authorization, we're going to build it ourselves, and there's no authorization, getting back to what my colleague from Glen Rock was talking about, it's their responsibility. Now, what I don't know is what particularly happened in Converse County. I know they did a one-cent tax. They raised the money to build a beautiful facility there that operates under Eastern. I don't know if that was, I can't remember if that was authorized or they just did it. But if it was authorized, then it's our obligation. That's the way it is now. We're not changing that. What we're trying to do is put it under the same umbrella so all of them are treated the same, and specifically in the last 8 or 9 years where there were discrepancies. We're not trying to figure out a way through a bill to expend a lot more money to give to the colleges over and above what we're already doing. And if you look at the fiscal note, there are more monies in there, and that's because of the buildings we've done recently and to try to bring them in parity. If you took out the parity side of that and had this bill the way it is and went with what we've done in the past, there would be no change. Now, you want to know how to drive that cost up, all you have to do is have this body take the up to 1.5% for fair and take it to good. And then you really spend a lot more money, but that's our discretion. So the whole intent of the bill is to try to bring to parity and a consistent analysis so they're all treated the same. If you want to have a college, a building built in your college, if you want to go to the commission and it's authorized, then this body and this legislature, based on this bill, will pick it up. But that's the way we've been doing it, other than what we did in the budget bills. So we're trying to clarify that. That's the purpose of the bill. I'll try to find that footnote last year, and if this bill survives today, I will get up and discuss it tomorrow.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes, Chairman.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I had a little different question on reading the bill. I see that you have been excluded the student union and auxiliary services, and I'm wondering if those was included in an educational building, a building where they had classes and also a student union or other services. Is there a means to handle that?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the process there, and I'll use the process that they told us about over at university and their student union, they have a vending kiosk area. But there's educational classes around that particular building. And so they measure out where the vending kiosks are. That's your soda pops and your sandwich machines and all of those things. And that's deducted from the educational part of it. If you have a student union building that has a student union, but off to the side of it, there's a classroom. The classroom has major maintenance, but the student union doesn't. So they get right into, and they measure the square foot that's educational and the square foot that's auxiliary or in these other categories.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 15, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Senate File 15 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 17. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 17, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Insurance Electronic Delivery of Documents, and Act Relating to Insurance. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Lexington Political Subdivisions, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 17, Insurance Electronic Delivery of Documents. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 17, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 17, and for an explanation of the bill and to work the amendment, I would yield to Senator Johnson.
Senator Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 17 has two sections, two concepts to understand that are related to each other, but have different requirements. One is electronic delivery of insurance documents, private insurance documents that are for your specific policy. And the other one is posting generic policies on their website so somebody can go in and pull that down and just see what the generic is and what they can work with the insurance companies on. Now, right now, if you're like me, you get everything in paper. And I like getting everything in paper. That means I have to buy more filing cabinets. But all of our changes, extensions, and everything's in paper. This takes insurance profession into electronic delivery into the 21st century, where they can deliver documents electronically if their client wants them to do it. So the base you fall back on is paper delivery. If the client authorizes electronic delivery, then they can do that, and they can always fall back to paper delivery at the request of the client. So if I can do an explanation of the bill, pages 2 and 3 say that that a party be notified before consenting to email delivery of documents. In other words, the consumer gets the documents from the insurance company, who would love to have them use electronic delivery. And then they can say yes, or I want to continue to keep the paper. The consumer, the insurance companies and the consumers are very interested in privacy, especially with all of the hacking that's been done lately around the world and all of the information on millions of people that have gotten out into the marketplace. Both parties are really concerned about privacy for themselves and for each other. The consumer must be given a statement of the requirements of the hardware and software they need to even get electronic documentation. And then they agree to opt in. The insurer must notify the consumer if changes to the access documents change or are updated. They have to let them know. The bill does not affect any notices or document deadlines that are required under applicable law, because the insurance companies have their own timelines, their own deadlines when they want to send out these notices. If a notice or document needs verification or acknowledgement of receipt, the document may only be delivered electronically if there's a way to confirm receipt of that document. Usually what you do is check a box and then reply, and they know that that you have it. And even if you fail to acknowledge the receipt of the document, your policy is not invalidated. It does not invalidate your policy as long as the party has consented to receive documents electronically and has shown the insurer that they are capable of receiving them electronically. You can also withdraw your consent to electronic documents and go back to the paper documents without penalty. A lot of the insurance companies right now use electronic mail for insurance documents. I have several of the ones that I get that everything's done electronically. If this bill passes, what they've been doing is okay and it won't change, but if they add anything after that, it has to agree to the requirements of this bill. We have a couple of definitions in this area. Delivered by electronics, electronic mail address, which a party has consented to receive notices or documents, and posting on a website or app of the documents. The party is their word for the consumer. Throughout the bill, that's what that means. Now, the second section of this bill is posting of policies on the Internet. That allows the insurance companies to post their generic policies on the web, and if you're interested in looking at them, you go in on their website, and then you follow all of the directions to get to it, and there it is. You can read it and study and see if you're interested, and if you want to go talk to an agent about it. Most companies now send emails that will tell a party their documents are ready. The policyholder can then retrieve them on a secure password-protected website. As usual, they're the ones that set up their own password. Companies are worried about privacy. Mailing documents is currently the standard for most insurance companies, but this does give them an option. And the consumer can switch delivery methodology at any time. Now, Mr. Chairman, we do have a Committee of the Whole amendment.
Senator, I think that's a standing committee
amendment.
Standing
committee amendment. This is bill is meant for property and casualty insurance only. And the committee decided to pass part of the amendment that says, before insurance, insert property and casualty. And that makes it very firm. I can do it. If the other insurance types want to have electronic delivery, they can come in here and ask us for it, and the body can pass it if we feel like for it. We added that as a new section, so we renumbered the original two sections. And that's about it, the renumbering and making sure it's property and casualty insurance only on the bill itself, Mr. Chairman. So I would ask an affirmative vote on standing committee amendment number one.
Any questions, comments on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 17, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That Standing Committee Amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, I ask that the Senate vote in favor of the bill.
Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I will confess a certain amount of unease about this bill, although with the Standing Committee Amendment, which as well provides that you'll continue to get paper notices and cancellations and non-renewals and things like that that are very important. That cured a good deal of my concern. I would point out to the Senate that the insurance industry is already in the electronic age. Many of these things are already done electronically with the blessing of our insurance department, and it seems to be working pretty well. This puts some of the practices into statute. I do continue to have some concerns in the area of the posting of policies on the websites. We all know that from experience, if nothing else, that websites can be well designed and easy to find everything, or poorly designed and hard to find everything. So that's a risk there. And I also have some concerns about their ability to charge for the actual policy document, which you may need to see what your contract really is and be able to assemble the whole thing so you know what you've got. Mr. Chairman, I think we may need a second reading amendment here. But do understand that this doesn't bring the insurance industry into the electronic age. It's already there, and our department has been facilitating that.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 17, please say aye. Any opposed? No. Senate File 17 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration, Senate File 21. Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that the Committee of the Whole, what is it? Forgot those motions. I haven't done that in a while. Beg leave to rise and sit again.
No, it's beg rise to leave and sit again.
You have heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Mr. President.
Members of the Senate, we're going to break here upon motion, so I'll call on the good Vice President.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and make your motion, and we'll have some announcements.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I move that we beg rise to leave and sit again and come back at 2 p.m.
Okay. Announcements. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Better find the right one. Better go to somebody else. I need my...
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number two appropriations will meet today, Wednesday, at 12:30 p.m. in room S11 to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 54, reports to the legislature. Senate File 14, court security funding. Mr. President, your committee number two appropriation will meet tomorrow, Thursday, at 8:30 a.m. in room S11 to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, a re-referral. Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions. Senate File 70, State Appropriation, Lapsing of Funds. And Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations.
Now, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number seven corporations will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30. Note the 7:30 start time. We'll finish up on Senate File 16, Insurance Guarantee Association Model Act. Then we're going to take Senate File 18, Counties Legal Publications. Senate File 19, Cities and Towns Legal Publications. Senate File 20, Local Governments Legal Publications. And then we're going to start an individual bill, Senate File 74, Unemployment Insurance Coverage Fiduciaries, if time permits. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, or as the good Senator from Casey refers to it, arts, parks, and fuzzy stuff, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in room S14, where we will take up Senate File 45, Game and Fish Department General Fund Budget Requests, Senate File 47, Katie's Law, Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, and Senate File 72, Burglary.
Any further announcements? Oh, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number three, Revenue, your lonely committee, decided to have a meeting. We're going to meet tomorrow afternoon, 30 minutes after recess, in room S16 to discuss Senate File 33.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, will meet in approximately 15 minutes in our regular meeting room to consider Senate File 41, Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, and Senate File 43, Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facility Projects.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Transportation Committee, Transportation and Veterans Affairs Committee number eight, will meet this evening, about 10 minutes after adjournment, in room S14 to consider Senate File 58, National Guard Service Governor's Authority, Senate File 59, Specific Service Signage on Highways.
Any further announcements? Members, leadership of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, plus committee chairman, I'd like you all to meet in my office. Right upon recess here for about 2 minutes, if you would, please. You've heard the motion that we stand in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's carried. We are in recess until 2 p.m.